Good day, everyone, and welcome to the IBM Support Technical Exchange conference call. Today's call is being recorded. For opening remarks and introductions, I would like to turn the call over to Ms. Cathy Kuhn. You may begin.
Welcome, everyone, to this IBM Support Technical Exchange presentation. Today's topic is Installation Scenarios for MQ 8.0 and 9.0 in Linux and Windows. The presenter is Angel Rivera. Angel is a member of the WebSphere MQ support team for Unix and Windows platforms. At this time, I would like to turn the presentation over to Angel.
Thank you, Kathy. Hello, MQ fans. How are you doing? My name is Angel Rivera, and I work with the WebSphere MQ Level 2 support team for Unix and Windows in the Research Triangle Park in the state of North Carolina in the USA. I hope that you are having a great day. Thank you very much for taking the time from your busy schedule to attend this conference call or to listen to the recording of the presentation. This presentation has 84 pages. Wow! Well, I debated in just give you only 30 pages, or I decided to give you all the pages. Now, I'm front-loading some of the ideas mentioned in the last slides, and I will be covering them, some of the concepts at the beginning. In that way, when we reach the hour, 60 minutes from now, I will just stop and wrap up the presentation. And at least the presentation will have the material in case you want to review them later. But the concepts, the main concepts, will be explained a little bit earlier, okay? I want to thank very, very much Emma Humbert from MQ Java Level 3 and Peter Potke in the development of this presentation. Their ideas were really, really good. And let's begin. Let's go to the next page, please. This is the agenda. We'll start just with an introduction. We'll discuss briefly the scenarios. There are 8 in total, okay? And we'll be covering single installation, multiple installations coexisting in the same box. We'll be covering more details like you just want to install the client or just the MQ Explorer or both, but no server code. Another possibility, another scenario will be you just want to install the Java JMS jar files, and the other is just the resource adapter. Or you want to include some libraries with your bundle of your application when you want to deliver to, if you're in the development, for example, once you deliver to the internal clients, well, you would like to include some MQ files without the customers installing the whole client. Well, there is a possibility now. We'll be discussing the support packs that are available for the MQ Client and Explorer. And also, the main focus will be on Windows and Linux, because I wanted to give you very concrete examples. I have developed some complementary material that are based on tutorials and using Windows and Linux. However, the principles apply also for AIX, HPUX, and Solaris. Okay? Then let's go to the next page, please. Page number 3. This is the material from this presentation is borrowed from a tech talk that I made available just a few days ago. And the tech talk also has many, many pages, and it goes into more depth. And I will recommend for you, if you can visit this, the webpage mentioned in this slide, and download this tech talk. There is an advantage also of keeping in mind this particular tech talk. The tech talk is a little bit easier to consult, because it will have a table of contents, and then you can go to the different chapters in an easier way than through the presentation. Also, I will not be able to provide all the information that is available in the tech doc in this presentation. Therefore, take a look at the tech doc. Also, something very important. Things, there will be updates, specifically for version 9 later on. And I will expand in those updates in the TechDoc itself, and I will not be able to review this this presentation, the recorded presentation. I will not be able to review it. Therefore, if you take a look at the TechDoc later on the year, there will be some additional material related to version 9. Okay? And also, for the scenarios, there are 8 scenarios, and they are labeled 1, 2, 3, 4, etc. to 8. And the TechDoc contains the fullest steps that demonstrate fully the scenarios 6, 7, and 8. And we'll talk more about them later on. Okay, let's go to the next slide, please. This is slide number 4. Okay. Well, the first 5 scenarios are the ones that you must be a root user in Unix, or you need to be a Windows administrator, a system administrator. You need to be able to have permissions in order to modify the registry in case of Windows, or to modify the internal database that the operating system has about installed programs. Why? Because what we want to do with these 5 scenarios is the system needs to know that MQ has been installed. And therefore, we are going to query using system calls what is the version of MQ, what components have been installed, and so on. In the case of Linux, we'll be using the command rpm to query the if MQ is installed, okay? This is very important because we have some utilities like a run MQ RAS that will gather the information about MQ, and it will be actually asking things from the operating system about what is installed for MQ, and that's the reason root needs to be able to install these RPMs and so on. The first scenario will just kind of cover very much in detail because it is the most general. Is installing all components, okay, the queue manager, the client, the explorer, in case of Windows and Linux, Intel, the advanced message security, the managed file transfer, and telemetry, all of them, okay? And there will be 2 variations. One is you have a pristine box, nothing installed, and then you want to install, to have a single installation with all components, okay? And the other variation that will be considered is, okay, you have already MQ installed in a box, and you want to have a second installation that will be coexisting with the other one. Then is the multiple installations scenario in the same box. And we'll cover things for Linux and Windows. Scenario number 2, it is really the continuation of scenario number 1. It means scenario 1 is installed for the first time, is the base product. The scenario number 2 is installation of the fix packs on top of the existing installations. And again, we'll cover 2 variations, the single installation in the box and multiple installations in the box. Okay, these 2 scenarios are really, I think, the most common ones, and that's the reason we wanted to cover them first. Because also, when we are introducing, talking about these scenarios, some additional material will be covered. For example, Passport Advantage, how to get the fix packs, and et cetera, licenses and things like that will be mentioned briefly. Let's go to the next page, please. And that's page number 5. This is a continuation of the scenarios in which user root or the Windows administrator must perform the installation. The number 3, the scenario number 3 is, okay, you have a pristine box, you don't have anything there, but it's just going to be the client. You want to have a client application, you do not want to have a queue manager there. Therefore, you do not want to install the code for the queue manager. It makes sense. Therefore, you can install only the MQ client. Now, this MQ client does not include anything about AMS, I mean the advanced message security, or the file transfer, telemetry, It doesn't include the Explorer. It's just the client for your GameQ client application. It is for C, it is for Java, JMS, etc. Okay? And scenario number four is, okay, this is how to apply the fix packs on top of the MQ client. Okay, there are different ways to do it, and we'll discuss them briefly. Number five is the installation of the MQ Explorer. Again, mostly you may have just a Windows machine. You do not want to install anything else in that machine. You just want the MQ Explorer because you just want to have remote access to a queue manager. And in that way, you can do some monitoring of the queue manager. You can do queries about the depth of the queues and things like that. Therefore, I mean, you just want to streamline things. You don't want to have this. By the way, the three scenarios discussed in this slide do not require special licenses. It is assumed that if you download the MQ Client or the MQ Explorer, you are going to talk to a queue manager, and you have to pay a license for the queue manager. But you don't have to pay additional license fees for the MQ Client or the Explorer. Okay? Then let's go to page number six, please. Okay. Now, these are special scenarios, and these are at the end of the presentation, but I'm afraid that we may not have time to reach them. Then I want to spend a little bit more time here to talk about this. Okay, why do we have these additional scenarios? Let me tell you what is the current problem that we see in this. Okay, we have a company that has the queue manager, and they have some developers that are working with in C or in Java and JMS, and they say, okay, listen, I don't interact with the queue manager just for maybe just testing purposes. I do not want to install the MQ client, but it is very tempting to just copy some of the MQ jar files into my host. I copy from host one, I copy those jar files into my host number two, and then I don't use any particular process, and then, oh, I'm having some problems. Then you talk to support, and in support it says, well, sorry, we do not support that scenario in which you just copy certain jar files from an installation already done there in another host, and we don't provide it. We don't provide support. Why? Well, we do not know exactly what you copied, and also you may be copying a jar file from one version, from host one, and then later on you forgot which host you copied, then you go to host number two and copy another jar file for another version, and now you have two jar files that are from different versions, and then it is a mess. It is headaches for everybody. But because also later on in the month you say, well, I don't know what version of the jar files I install. There is no record of it. You query the operating system. There is no record that they were installed formally. Again, they were just ad hoc copies of the jar files. Wow. Similar situation is if you have an application server and you want to install the MQ resource adapter. Again, it's very tempting right now just to copy the resource adapter from host one into host two and then just then open PMR later on to report that it's not working, the configuration, et cetera, et cetera. And the last scenario is, okay, you have painstakingly tested a specific fixed backend version of MQ, and you know that everything here works fine. All the defects have been debugged from the point of view of interim fixes from MQ and things of your bugs in the application, etc. Now you want to provide a package to your internal customers, and you want to spare them the installation of the external MQ because also they could download the incorrect MQ fix pack and so on, whatever. Then what you would like to do is to have some code that is redistributable. It means that you can have the proper license to redistribute and provide it to other people. And by the way, those are the three scenarios that we'll be covering. The number six is just the Java JMS client. Number 7, it is for the resource adapter. And number 8 is for the redistributable. Now, these three scenarios have something in common that is not in the previous five that we mentioned. And with these three, anybody can install. In these three, there is no traditional format like RPM file sets or like MSI for Microsoft. These are just expandable jar files or just zip files. And there is no record in the system that you have installed them, but you need to have to accept some licenses, licensing terminology, and you don't have to pay extra for licenses, but you have to accept the licensing terms. That's what I meant to say. Now, and anybody can install. I mean, not just root. I mean, as an MQM administrator or as a MQ developer, I can download these files from Fix Central, IBM Fix Central, and then I can unpack and I can do things my own way. I do not have the need for root or Windows administrator to do things, okay? Now, let's go to number 7. Page number 7. Okay, slides number 7 and slides number 8 are copied from the tech doc. And this is something that Emma Humber really helped me to solidify. In the tech doc, it's a single page, but unfortunately, if I copy the entire table into here, it will be tiny, tiny, tiny font. You say, huh? What is that? Well, what I decided just in slide 7 is the top portion of that table. Slide 8 is the bottom portion of the table. Now, across the different columns is just a scenario. Scenario number 1 is the full install. Scenario number 2 is the fixed pack install. Number 3, clients. Number 4 is fixed pack of the clients. Number 5 is Explorer. 6 is just the Java JMS. Number 7 is the resource adapter. Number 8, redistributable. On the first column, on the wider column, it is just the different items that we wanted to address. For example, installer format, that's the first line. Second line says traditional MQ installer, like RPM. Well, the first four scenarios provide that traditional RPM file set or MSI. However, the other four scenarios do not provide that. The number 5 is a zip file. Number 6, 7, 8 are expandable jar files. And number 3, row number 3 is unzipped. Row number 4 is self-extracting jar. Then you could see right away, for example, says, well, I do not want something that has a RPM installer, something I can install either by a zip or by a self-extracting jar. Then you can take a look at in those rows and see which columns are meeting those requirements that you have. Now let's go continue on the maintenance path, and that's row number 5. There are two choices. One is we do an installer or uninstaller. Okay, it means that's a traditional method. The next row is replacement. What it means is this, that you cannot just apply a fix pack. You have to remove the existing installation and then replace with the new version of the stuff. It's additional steps that you will need to do, okay? Now, I think that the most important lines are the next ones are must be installed by a root or an administrator. As you can see, the first five scenarios have a Y for yes, and the rest are no. And correspondingly, there is another row that says can be installed by any user like MQM. And then you will see all those. The first five, it means, hey, you cannot be an MQM administrator. You must be root in order to install. However, the last three scenarios, you can install them. Now, the next, let's continue down the rows. The next is MQ Resource Adapter for J2EE Application Server. Okay, let's suppose that you have an application server, and you say, okay, what should I need to download in order to have the JMS, the Resource Adapter? Well, you have several choices. You could install the complete set, with the MQ server. And you say, okay, that will be fine because application server will be located in the same place as the queue manager. Yes, then I will install that. Another choice is, no, the application server is in a host that doesn't have any MQ activity at all except for a JMS application. Then maybe I will consider the things in column number 6, 7, or 8, okay? And the rest with the things with the different rows. If you want a developer tool and samples, what you need to do. If you want the samples, you have only 4 choices. If you want to have run MQSE, you have only the first choices. You cannot do it later on, okay? Now let's go to slide number 8, please. Slide number 8 is the bottom of that table that I mentioned. The properties, for example, the second row there, it says redistributable. We'll talk a little bit more about redistributable, but that's the idea that I mentioned before, that you have already developed, for example, using MQ8004, that particular level, you have actually tested and all that stuff, and you are ready. You have given a seal of approval and certification. Now, you do not want your client of your internal application to install versions 8003 or 8005. You want the customer to use 8004. How can you ensure that you have 8004? Well, you can redistribute some of the code with MQ, from MQ, with your application and give it to your internal customer. That's the redistributable. The next item says relocatable. What does it mean? Okay, in version 7.0 and before, in Unix, there was only one place where you could install the code, and that's it. It was hard-coded, no options. In 7.1 of MQ, we introduced a feature of multiple installations coexisting in the same box, which means that, hey, I cannot install everything under /opt/mqm. That would be one installation. But I would like to install in /applications, /mq8, for example, the other installation. Therefore, that's the relocatable. I mean, in the sense that you can have the code installed in non-default directories. Okay, and the other thing, the other lines are just few of those properties. And the last portion of that thing is about where you can download it. And basically, there are two choices. One is the Passport Advantage is wherever you have the complete server code and the complete base code. And you must have a license in order to be able to log in and download from IBM Passport Advantage. Folks, that's how IBM makes the money, okay? You pay to buy licenses. You pay for the licenses, and then you are able to download from Passport Advantage. If you don't pay, you cannot download. I mean, you may be able to log in, but you will not have authority to download the code. Now, there is another repository for software. It's called Fix Central. And in Fix Central, you cannot download the complete product. You can download only deltas. Okay, interim fixes and deltas and the client code and the explorer code and so on. But you cannot have the complete server code. Why? Because in Fix Central, you need to log in just for tracking purposes, but there is no enforcer of if you have paid or not. And if we were giving the server code, for, in a sense, it would be for free, and IBM will not make the revenue. Okay? Then let's go to page number 9. In page number 9, in version 9, a new method was added for providing new features without being in a new release. For example, up to now, we have added new small features in fix packs. And for some customers, that's problematic because they have maybe spent 2 months testing and certifying 8.002, for example, as their fix pack. And you expect only defects added in 003 and 004 and so on. However, we are adding also new function. And the customers may think, well, that new function may introduce new problems. And that's a problem for us. We want a stable base. We just want to have in fix packs only fixes. And that's what is called the long-term support in version 9. Then whenever a new fix pack, it will be called 9001. That's the next fix pack. We do not yet know when it will be available. It will be this year, 2016, but we don't have a specific time frame. Well, there is a web page that shows the plan, but again, we don't have a particular committed date that when it will be released. Now, there is another method. It's called the continuous delivery, in which new function will be added, and these releases will be called like a 901. 902. The modification is in the third digit, not in the fourth digit. Okay, and I'm including in this part, in this slide web links for additional information on these particular modes of delivery. As of this time, we do not have yet any of the continuous delivery. Therefore, I cannot tell you exactly how to handle them because, I mean, the material that I'm showing, referencing here, just takes, it talks about the theory, but I would like to give you a tutorial, and I don't have a material to give you a tutorial based on hands-on experiments. Okay, this is slide 9, and for those people who may want to say, okay, I just wanted to have a preview of the presentation, well, I gave you already most of the meat in this first 9. The rest will be just elaboration and more details. And also, in case we don't reach all the slides by 30 minutes from now, well, at least we cover the main ingredients at this time. Let's go to page number 10, please. Okay, well, what about, do we have a specific scenarios for advanced message security, managed file transfer, telemetry? No. They are included in the scenarios number 1 and 2 because those are, we are talking here about the installation of the components, not of the configuration and initial setup for them. It's just installing the code into the system, and they are covering scenarios 1 and 2. Let's go to page number 11, please. Okay. It's very important that before you try to install a new version, you look at the system requirements. So let me give you an example. This is based on real PMRs. We got many of these PMRs. People already using MQ7.1, for example, and Red Hat version 5. And they assume that because it works in version 7.5 and it works with version 8, well, you want to say, okay, I'm ready to install MQ9.0 on my Red Hat version 5. And you download, you test it, it doesn't work. Well, if you look at the system requirements, which is mentioned here in the link, then you will see that the minimum requirement is 7.2 of Red Hat, okay? Then by consulting this, you will avoid a lot of headaches. If you trying to install a product that in a platform that is no longer supported, okay? Let's go to page number 12, please. Okay, let's do the scenario for the full install. One of the components that will be installed is the MQ Explorer. This is only available in Windows and Linux Intel, okay? There are 4 distributions of Linux. Only one of them, the Intel, is the one that provides Explorer. The other ones do not. Let's go to page 13, please. There are 3 different variations. The first one is we are going to install 8002 in a pristine environment. By the way, in Linux, we do have to use the utility called CRTMQ package, PKG, because it is installation 1, okay? This particular utility is only used when it's a second installation or third or fourth or five, and it's only in Linux and Solaris, okay? The second variation is, okay, you have only one installation, and it's, number one is kind of a pristine installation. Number two is, okay, you have already one, and you want to just upgrade it, okay? Not coexisting, it's just you want to replace your version 8 with version 9, for example. And the third variation is, okay, you have already installed version 8, and you want to have another second installation, which would be version 9, for example. In this case, you must use the CRTMQ package for that second installation, okay? Let's go to page 14, please. Thank you. The same thing for, in this case, for Windows. In Windows, we do not use that utility CRTMQ package. It's only for Linux and Solaris. Next page, please. Okay. Oh, you are ready to install all the components. How do you download? Well, what you need to do is you have to download from IBM Passport Advantage. And again, you must have to be a registered user in order to download. And you need to use what is called the IBM ID. In case you don't have one, you need to get it from there. And by the way, when you look, go also to IBM Fix Central, even though you don't have to be a registered paid customer, because anybody can download from Fix Central, really, for marketing purposes, IBM wants to track who is logging in and see what kind of material you are downloading. In that way, IBM can send you later on some emails or something. Okay, but that's the whole idea of having an IBM ID. Up to 3 or 4 years ago, anybody could just not even log in and download things, but things were changed. Page number 16, please. In page 16, okay, now you go to IBM Passport Advantage and you start, there are three ways of searching. The top one is by text. And you are typing AMQ 8.0. Either you get absolutely nothing, or maybe you get 500 entries. You say, wow. Well, there are improvements that need to be made in that search facility. Now, what we recommend is that you go to the bottom, to the third option, and search for a part. Well, how do you get for a part number? Then you visit the particular link that is mentioned here. And by doing the part number, you get only one image. And the one that you want, that's it. It's really efficient. It avoids a lot of headaches and so on. Then if you want to get the Linux for Intel, you have to download the part mentioned here, CN9GDML, and if you want Windows, etc. Let's go to page 17, please. Page 17, okay. If you want to download version, right now version 9 has only just version 9. There are no fixed packs available. For version 8, you have several options, and when you go to, I will show you in the next slide what is the, how you can download from Passport Advantage using a part number, but okay, which part number should I use? You will have the option of downloading the 8000, okay? And you could then go to IBM Fix Central, download the Fix Pack 8002. But it would be nice if it can be combined. In that way, I can get both 8.000 and 8.002 together. In that way, I do only one download and one install, and at the end, I have 8002. Well, that is available, and we call it rebased, okay? Then rebased, it is the two things together, which is nice, saves you a lot of time. And there is a rebase for 003, 8004. Not for every single fixed pack, but for key fixed packs, we have that rebase. Let's go to page 18, please. And in page 18, that's the web link for to find out the part numbers for version 8. And actually, well, as of July 2016, that's when I prepared the material. there was a the latest rebase for Linux was 8.0.0.4, which means that it's 8.0.0.0 plus 8.0.0.1, 8.0.0.2, 8.0.0.3, and 8.0.0.4. Okay? Let's go to the next page, please. Page 19. Okay, this is about licenses. Okay, let me tell you this. When sometimes we get PMR saying, okay, can I install two QManagers in something that has SVU, CPUs, whatever? Well, I mean, we don't know. And we do not know what you purchase and so on. We do not have access to databases and so on. For these type of questions, don't open a PMR. We do not know. And instead, contact directly your IBM or sales representative. They are trained to answer these type of questions. However, there is one question that we know, and is the following. Okay, once I download 7.5 or 8 or 9, if I install everything, well, your company will need to purchase 4 licenses, one for the QManager, another for telemetry, which is the XR for extended reach, and that's what it means, another one for AMS, the Advanced Message Security, and another one for the Managed File Transfer, also called the File Transfer Edition. 4 licenses. Now, what happens if you do not have to, if you say, well, I don't want to install this AMS or FT, well, don't install them. And one suggestion is, if once you expand the downloaded file from Passport Advantage, you will see several RPM files that have the AMS or the FT. If you don't want to use it or your company doesn't have a license, just delete those particular RPM files, okay? And if by mistake you have installed them and you later on find out that you have not paid the licenses, then you can uninstall those particular components. Let's go to page 20, please. Okay. In Linux, the default location is for the first installation is /opt-mqn. It's the same as before. But again, it's relocatable. Sorry, I didn't pronounce it right. You can specify as an option another location. Now, in Windows, each version has its own default location, and they are listed here. Let's go to the next page. That's page number 21. And the target directory can be specified only during the first installation. After you have it specified, you cannot change that particular one. You will need to uninstall and then try install again, okay? Now, in Linux, you can use something called a flag called --- prefix and provide the directory that you want. For example, /opt/mqm90, and as mentioned in this slide. And in that way, you can install for the first time in a pristine box and version 9 in that machine, or version 8, and so on. Because by doing that, you may be able to later on have another installation coexisting, and none of them will have the monopoly of /opt/mqm, but each one will have its own subdirectory and probably will be easier to manage and recognize. Let's go to page 22, please. Okay, and this is more explanation about the role of the --- prefix. One warning, though, is that if you have installed the code, for example, 8.0.0.0, using the --- prefix into a non-default location, when you install the fix pack, you must have to include also that prefix. And the explanation in this slide is, well, how you can find out in case you forget which is the prefix that you need to use. Let's go to slide number 23, please. Okay, which are the characteristics? We have just briefly, I mean, this is a traditional install. You must be root. It provides all the executables, jar files, and so on. It provides the utilities, the samples, and I'm including here some of the names that are used for the downloaded images and the file size. As you can see, it's more than 500 megabytes, just the downloaded file. which means at least 500 megabytes of disk usage after you install the code. It's large. And that's the reason some people say, well, listen, I have a system that have very little disk space and I don't want to, I just want to use the RA, the resource adapter. I don't want to install 500 megabytes. And that's the reason we provided another scenario for this. And by the way, there is no typo here. The name of the file for 8002 is 8.002. Sorry. Okay, let's go to the next page here, page 24. Okay, I'm cheating a little bit over here. I'm telling you, okay, we have there is a tutorial already provided with this. You can install 8002, you apply FixPack 8004, and then you can uninstall both the FixPack and the code. All this, again, is one installation and one in the machine. All those details are in this tech talk. Let's go to page number 25. And 25 is, okay, you have already installed a version of MQ. You want to upgrade it. What should we do? Okay, I'm cheating again. I'm just giving you here a tutorial, a link to the tutorial. And let's go to the next page. This is page 26. And again, more details about the tutorial for upgrading, the different steps that you need to do, and so on. Each step is in its own chapter. Okay? Let's go to page number 27. Okay, this is the third variation about in which you want to have multiple installations of MQ. Why do you want to have multiple installations? The typical case is this. You have, for example, MQ 7.5 installed, and that's the only version, and you have your queue managers, and you have 10 of those queue managers. Now, you need to upgrade to version 8. There are two choices. One is you can upgrade the entire thing, and you have to migrate all those queue managers at once, or you can install 8 coexisting with version 7.5, and then gradually, as you have time, you can migrate each one of those queue managers when it's necessary, not all of them at once. That's the whole idea of having multiple installations, okay? Now, when you install a second or third or fourth installation, Linux and Solaris, you must use this CRTMQ package utility. Let's go to page 28 to explain a little bit more why. I will explain why in one coming slide. Here, there is another tutorial that shows all the steps. And let's go to page 29. And okay, why do we need these utilities? We get many PMRs about this. Sometimes this utility is issued when it shouldn't be issued. Sometimes it's not issued when it needs to be issued. The whole idea is this. In Linux, we are using the command rpm-qa to query all installed software. And we see this MQ series runtime and the version number and so on. That first character, that first string, MQ series runtime, that's the name that is kept internally by Linux. Now, if we want to have another version of MQ, the query is done against that first string and is going to be a collision, then we couldn't have two versions at the same time. Then there is a trick. The CRTMQ package, what it's going to do is going to modify the names of the first name and add underscore and something else. When you say, for example, CRTMQ package space number 2, then that number 2 together with an underscore will be added to the packages, to the package name. In that way, when you are listing the package names, you will see two different ones. For example, MQ series runtime, that's one. MQ series runtime underscore 2. That's another one. That's a way, it's a trick in order to have multiple versions. Okay, let's go to the next slide, number 30. And just more details about that. Let's skip it. Let's go to page 31. Okay, and this is just more details. Let's skip it, number 32. Okay. Even though there is no tutorial for AIX, HPUX, and Solaris, it's still only the first chapter. Some chapters do not apply, but the overall principle still applies, okay? Then let's go to the next page, 33. Okay. Now, in order to, when you have multiple installations, then you want to say, okay, when I log on to the box, how do I specify which installation should I use? There is a command called setmqenv, and this command must be sourced, which means that you need to really try the following. You need to start with a dot, followed by space, and then the complete command. If you fail to do that dot followed by a blank, then you are not going to properly run the command, and the environment will not set up properly. And here I'm showing two examples of how to run it. Let's go to page 34, please. Okay. Now, the same three scenarios, that variations, the same thing for Windows. We have a tutorial. Well, there is no tutorial because the document, the online manual is pretty good for the Windows single install. And here is the link. Let's go to page 35. And how to upgrade it, you can go to this link. Again, the online manual provides good information there. Page 36, please. Again, for multiple versions, yes, we have a tutorial. Let's go to the next page. Okay, this is a scenario to applying fix packs. Okay, the fix packs must be done by root administrator in Windows. The fix pack is a cumulative delta. For example, 8004 includes also the fix packs for 8003, 8002, and 8001. And they need to be applied on top of an existing installation. For example, the 8004 can be applied on top of 8000. Or in case you have 8002, you can apply it too also there because it includes all those deltas. What I'm trying to tell is this. If you have 8000, you do not have to download FixPack 1 in order to apply it, and then FixPack 2 in order to apply it, and FixPack 3 in order to apply it, and FixPack 4 in order to apply it. If you have 8004, you download fix pack 4 and apply it, and you will have everything up to date. Let's go to page number 38, please. Okay, and for the different variations, the only one that will require the CRTMQ package is the variation number, the 2C, the one that is for multiple installations. The other ones do not require that. Let's go to page 39. The same thing for Windows. This page, let's go to page 40. Okay, how you can download the fix packs? You go to a different site instead of Passport Advantage. You go to something called Fix Central. But in order to go there, I mean, we provide already with this link. You will see this web page that it will list the different versions of MQ, and for each version, what is the latest fix pack. And you click the button, and that will take you to Fix Central, and you can download the latest fix pack. Let's go to the next page, please. Okay. Now, and you may say, well, I didn't want to download 8004. I wanted to download 8003, but you will not see it right away in Fix Central. Well, it is there, but you need to enable some things and click in a specific location, and it's very difficult to describe verbally or in written text. Therefore, it's better if you look at, if you need to download not the latest fix pack, but an intermediate one, then you can visit the web page that is mentioned at the bottom of the slide, which has a screen by screen. The screen captures and tells you exactly which link you have to modify in order to click it and so on. Let's go to next page 42, please. And, okay, here is in which chapter of a tutorial mentioned previously you get instructions on exactly what to do to apply the fix back. It's kind of a cookie recipe. You just follow the instructions there. Page 43. Okay, and this is just for one of the variations, what is the scenario, and let's go to page 44. And which chapter in a tutorial you can apply it. Okay, page 45. Okay, and after you apply the fix back, you will see that with the RPM command that you will have now, I put it in blue, you will have the MQ series runtime, for example, dash, and then the U8004 to indicate that that's the fix back. Okay, let's go to the next page. In that way, when you query the system, you will find out if you have applied the fix back or not. And now, this is very similar. Okay, at this time, we do not have yet a fix back 9001, okay? However, my understanding is that it's 9001, when it's available, will be business as usual. Therefore, all the assumptions that we have can be applied, and it is just an illustration that what is the initial status for the applying this fix back, what will be the end result. Let's go to the next page. Okay, that's the tutorial for the next for this scenario. Let's go to page 48. Okay, and we need to run this CRTMQ fix pack package utility, page 49, and we'll have this particular fix pack thing, and then page 450. And then the status will be that we'll have a fix back. I made up the number based on the historical ideas that we have, and that will be the end. I mean the end result. Let's go to page 51. Okay, for the Windows fix packs, exactly the same thing, the same scenarios. Let's go to the next page. Okay, now in this particular slide, what we have there is scenarios in which we want to install only the MQ client. We do not want to have to install the Q manager, and the exploration is in both Linux and in Windows, and one is the single installation and the other is how to do the coexisting. There are two independent tutorials that describe how to do all that stuff, and the next slides we just breeze through them because they point to these tutorials that are very comprehensive. Let's go to page 53, please. The characteristics is, again, these are just plain traditional installers. You need to be user root, includes everything. Okay. And page number 54. The packaging of the client. Okay. The client does not include AMS, the file transfer, telemetry, and these are just, in particular in Linux, these are the different things that you want to install. So you can see also Explorer is not included. The Explorer is downloaded in a different way. Let's go to page 55. The downloads are free, do not require licensing. Okay, and the support packs are cumulative. It's like a fix pack in a sense. But not the fix pack. I mean, they are cumulative. They include the base code plus all fix packs. And you can download different ones. They don't require a specific trick like with the formal fix packs. Okay, number 56, please. Thank you. These are the links where you can download the different versions for the client. These are support packs. These support packs, there are different categories of support packs. These ones we support. Okay, let's go to page 57, and there is a tutorial how you can do it for Linux. Let's go to 58. And this is for coexistence. This is another chapter on that tutorial. 59, please. In Windows, some idea, we have another tutorial just for this. And next page, 60, same idea for multiple installations for Windows. Let's go to 61. And I'm sorry that I'm rushing a little bit, but okay. This is scenario 4, and that's a different scenario. And we're just upgrading, okay? If we have installed only the client at 8.0.0.2, for example, well, how do I do in order to get it, bring it up to more recent version? Let's go to 62, please. Okay. In Windows, you have suitable two options to upgrade a client from one fix pack to another. One is you supply the fix pack that is downloaded in scenario 2, or you download the next, you visit the support pack webpage for the client, download the latest link available, and apply. Those two options work fine in Windows. In Linux, you just have only one option, applying the fix pack that is in scenario number 2. Okay, the other choice doesn't work. If you want the other choice, then what you will need to do is uninstall the existing one in Linux, download the latest one, and install it. That's kind of a replacement. Let's go to the next page, 63. Okay. Similar scenarios for scenario number 5, similar situations for the MQ Explorer. The MQ Explorer comes self-contained. You do not need to install the client and Explorer at the same time. You could have both the client and Explorer installed. You need to download the two support packs, one for the client, one for the Explorer. And if you uninstall the support pack for the client, the MQ Explorer remains unaffected, because MQ Explorer is not relying on the client code. Explorer provides its own code. Okay, that's very important to understand. The Explorer, it has a replacement strategy. You must uninstall the existing one in order to install the next fix pack or version of the Explorer via the support pack. With this support pack, you cannot have two multiple copies of the Explorer. It's only one with this support pack. Let's go to next page, please. 64. This is the download page. And by the way, I need to mention that with this support pack, we provide only one version, the latest one at the latest fix pack. That's it. Previously, we used to have a table that you can select which version and which fix pack and so on. The strategy now is the latest version and the latest fix pack of the Explorer is the one that you should be able to use, even with older queue managers. The idea is this. In compatibility with MQ, this is an important concept, is the new code can determine that when it's working with an older code, and it will try to behave as older code. Therefore, the target component is thinking that it's talking to a client or another component that is at the same version. Okay? And because the new code knows how to behave as an older code. And that's the reason with an MQ Explorer version 9, you can interact with a queue manager at version 7.1, because the queue manager at 7.1 thinks that he's talking to an MQ Explorer at 7.1 instead of a version 9. Okay? Let's go to page 65. We already mentioned these things. Next slide, please. These are two tutorials that describe how you can install and maintain the Explorer. 67, please. Okay, this is the first of the new scenarios. Scenario 6 is you just want to install the JMS jar files, and you do not wish to install the other components for the server or the client support pack. What you can do is download a self-extracting jar file, okay, and from there you will be installed. It can be installed by anyone. It doesn't require traditional installation. It's just a self-extracting jar file. Let's go to page 68, please. Okay, those are the main things, characteristics, and there is a link there that explains more about why we are offering this choice. Let's go to page 69. And more details about this. We are not providing the development toolkit. We are not providing the Java runtime environment. Okay, let's go to page 70. Okay. You can download, how can you download this? There are two methods, but I need to warn you about this. The downloadable size is around 35 megabytes. However, when I use Firefox, when I download, I see it in my web browser. It says, I'm downloading a .jar file. And it says, downloading the .jar file. But when it finally reaches the end, it renames it to .zip file. Then I didn't download. Then I get confused. I got confused. As well, I downloaded a jar file, but it's renamed as a zip file, and it is not a self-extracting zip file. Then what you need to do is manually. If you have a problem, you have to manually go to the file and modify the suffix and change it from .zip, which is incorrect, to the correct one of .jar, and then follow the instructions, and it will work fine. Let's go to page 71. Okay, and this is a tutorial how you can install it. I mean, it's step by step. Just follow the instructions and you will get it. And again, anybody can do it, not just root. And let's go to page 72. Similar scenario as scenario 6, but this is even smaller. This is just the resource adapter. Okay, the previous scenario 6 includes the resource adapter, but this is even more narrow in scope. It's just for application servers. Okay, and let's go to page 73. Same idea. Again, it is anybody can run. It is just a self-extracting jar, and the link here is just indicating the motivation why we wanted to provide these options. Let's go to page 74. Okay, and we do not provide Java runtime, no developer tools, and so on. It's, again, only this particular resource adapter, period. Let's go to page 75. I think we'll make it. We'll make it with all the ones. Again, there are two methods where you can download. And the size, if you can take a look, is 15 megabytes, okay? Before, it was 34 megabytes, now it's 15 megabytes. It's very small, and you do not have to install the half a gig of the server stuff that includes everything, you know, like a scenario one. Number 76, please, page 76. And the scenario, you see step-by-step how you run the command as NQM instead of root. And what you get and all that stuff, just follow the scenario, the link here. And it's, let's go to the next page, 77. Scenario number 8. This particular developer from the NQ development team provided this blog entry about why the redistributable clients. They were introduced at MQ8004. Therefore, they are available with 8005, and they are available at 9000. If you want to have 8003 or 75 or something, we do not offer them. The minimum is 8004. And again, it's when you want to have to customize what are the files that you want to provide in a package that you want to give to your internal customers. Let's go to page 78. And this is what is offered. I will explain briefly. And page 79. And again, it's an unzip. It's not a self-extracting jar. It's just a zip file. And it doesn't offer many things. It's only the JMS.jar, for example. Again, the minimum for runtime. This is runtime. Let's go to page 80. And if you want to, the sizes are different. I mean, there are different variations that we have. We have, and that I'm looking at the bottom. You download this URL. And the file names of the downloaded stuff include the word redist. And you can download it for Windows, for example, the .NET stuff. You can download the Java, and you can do it also for Linux. And let's go to next page. 81. And to see an example of step-by-step of what you need to do, you can take a look at that is at the link in this web page. And it's one more page, I think, that we are reaching the end. And that's it. Yes! Okay. Thank you very much for your attention. And now I'm going to pass the control back to Kathy and for questions and answers. Thank you.
Thank you, Angel, for this presentation.
And I'm seeing one question on queue. The question is from the line of Ms. Li Ting. Your line is now open.
Oh, hi. I have a question. This is after you have installed the product and MQ is up in operational, can you, for temporary reasons, various reasons, you want to move your, for example, VAR, MQM to a temporary location, would that support soft link on the Unix platform and keep the MQ still operational? Would that support it?
Okay. Let me see if I understand. You have MQ installed, suppose that is /opt/MQM, and then you have a queue manager, and then you would like to have the code in a different location, let's say /home/opt/MQM, just to say something. And you can use symbolic links to /opt/MQM and then work. However, you just need to be careful and do those symbolic links as root. And the preference is if you can avoid symbolic links and use do the RPM -- prefix in order to install it in the location that you really want to keep it. But you cannot do anything related to the /opt/MQM while the queue manager is running. You will need to stop all the MQ activity, and then you can do the other things.
Okay. Yeah, that's all I asked. My question is just for temporary reason you want to do something on the, for example, opt/MQM. You say, want to reinstall the product. Do all the reconfiguration. I just temporarily want to move into somewhere then move it back.
Let me tell you something that also we see in the PMRs very often. We have, MQ has really good discipline in the sense of having the executable code in one place and the data in another place. The great advantage of this is the following, that anything that has to do with the install, uninstall, maintenance, and so on, will not affect the data. It means that once you have a queue manager created and up and running, if you need to do some maintenance on the executable code, you need to stop the queue manager. After it is stopped, you can uninstall the code, you can install a new code, whatever. The data will not be touched at all, which is nice.
Mm-hmm. Now, in the past, I remember that I'm talking about version 6 and earlier. When you install MQ, you actually also have some information written to VAR, MQM. It keeps what you installed or some other, information. And that information, I remember if you don't have dedicated VAR, MQM, it by default goes to your MQM home directory create. For example, /home/MQM, then it will create a VAR, MQM, plus some information in there.
Yeah, it is hard-coded to be in the the data is hard-coded in the /var/MQM. It must exist. It could be symbolic links, but it needs to exist.
And those files needs to be kept, if I remember correctly.
That's the data, yes. The data, well, if you don't want to keep a particular queue manager, you can delete the queue manager. But the installation and installation and maintenance of the executable code will not touch the data.
Right. Okay. Okay. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. You're welcome.
Okay. While we wait for potential questions coming in over the phone, we do have one in the group chat from Nitin. Nitin's question is, on page 64, you talk about MQ Explorer being backwards compatible with older versions of queue managers. Is that also applicable to MQ Client? In other words, will MQ Client version 9 work with MQ servers on different versions?
Yes, the answer is yes. And the compatibility is as follows. Any new code of MQ could be the queue manager, could be the client, could be the explorer, knows what has changed with older code. Then it can interact, that new code can interact with older code. I'm pretending to be at the same level of the older code. Let me give you a scenario. We could have a queue manager at version 7.1 and a client at version 9. The MQ client at version 9 will pretend to be an MQ client at version 7.1. Therefore, the queue manager at 7.1 will think that he's interacting with an MQ Explorer or MQ client at 7.1. Similarly, with the queue managers, let's imagine that now we have an MQ manager version 9, and we have still a machine that has the older client at 7.1. The queue manager will think, oh, this is a client that is old, 7.1. I will pretend to be a queue manager at 7.1. Then the old client, 7.1, thinks that it's interacting with the queue manager at 7.1. Then that's the way overall that we provide the compatibility between the clients, the explorer, and the queue managers.
Thank you very much for that answer. Mary, are there any more questions that came in over the phone?
Yes, one moment. Let me just go ahead and get the name, please. Question is from the line of Shankar Bonelli. Your line is now open.
Yeah, hi, this is Shankar. This is reference to your slide number 6. While giving the presentation, you said IBM does not support if MQ client is not installed fully. But in the slide 6, you offer different ways of installing MQ client, point number 6, 7, and 8. So What my question is, if some customer or some client installs options 6, 7, and 8, can this be IBM supports this or not?
Yes. With these options number 6, 7, and 8, yes. Now, the whole purpose of 6, 7, and 8, let me just rephrase again, is for you not to download and install the full MQ client. It's just a subset of the MQ client. Now, you need to download the proper packages because you will need to accept some licensing agreements in order to do that. And these scenarios are supported by MQ support. If you open up EMR and you mention, hey, I downloaded this for a scenario, this is a scenario and it's not working, then we'll address it. What we'll not address is this, that you have downloaded the full MQ client in host 1, and then in host 2, you decided just to copy 1, 2, 3 files into host 3, into host 2, and there is no licensing agreement that were accepted and so on. That we will not support.
Okay, understood.
Mm-hmm.
And one more question I have.
Yes.
From MQ8, I do not see there is a support pack called MH04, which collects the statistics. For MQ8, I do not see this is not supported. Is there a way this is going to be supported in near future?
I'm sorry, the statistics?
Support pack MH04.
MH04.
It is a queue statistics tool, and
okay.
I do not see this is supported on MQ8.
Okay. If you visit the webpage for that support pack,
mm-hmm.
if you scroll down, there will be a section called technical support.
Mm-hmm.
And if it says that it's category 2, then I'm sorry, but the MQ support team will not, it's not the author, it will not maintain it, and you will need to talk to the author.
Okay.
Then the support packs that I mentioned in the presentation for the clients, the explorer, and so on, they are fully, they're in the category that we can provide support.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay, understood.
The other ones, I'm sorry, but the individual authors are the ones that will determine, oh, it's time for me to test and then upgrade, or just maybe modify the web page saying, yeah, I tested with the latest version and it will be okay, no need to replace any images or whatever.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
I am done. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
At this time, since there are no more questions, we will conclude the presentation. Thank you very much for joining us today, and thank you, Angel, for presenting. This was very interesting. You all have a great day.
Thank you very much. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.